Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Thank you so much for tuning in on what is now a Monday morning. Man, they come quick when it's football, 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 football. And on Sunday, it was a quadruple header in terms of time slots because London was the early game if you're a Chargers fan and had to wake up at 6:30 in the morning to watch it on the West Coast. But that was a national broadcast all by its lonesome on CBS. And then, of course, the two regular windows, the two windows of games that we get every week, and Sunday night football. So you had essentially four different time slots. Then if you go back to Saturday, we had a game 7 between the Dodgers and Brewers that didn't start until, 5 o'clock Los Angeles time, 7 o'clock Milwaukee time, and obviously 8 o'clock on the East Coast. And so you had game 7, you had a full day of college football, you had a game 6 on Friday night in the NLCS. Essentially, if you're a huge sports fan, it was non-stop from Friday all the way through late Sunday night, and now here we are trying to sift through the rubble of another October sports weekend. Hashtag sports never stop. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. I've shared my good and my bad on Twitter. My good from week 7, my bad from week 7, and I still need to tweet my ugly, but that's what I'm asking you. The good, the bad, the ugly from week 7. We've also put our poll up for Monday MVP, just been up, not even an hour. And so if you're looking for it, it's now available on either my Twitter or our show Twitter, plus our Facebook page. A lot of you are now waking up and still needing to vent over what you saw from your teams on Sunday. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. On my list of good, the Rams and the Chiefs offenses, no doubt. The Rams moved to 7-0. The Chiefs have no trouble at all with the Bengals defense, which probably isn't a surprise. A little more surprising that the Bengals struggled against the Chiefs defense, which was last coming into week 7, last in the NFL. A lot of that, of course, the average is bloated by what happened in New England the week before. If you didn't know, these two teams are on a crash course. I think it's the week before Thanksgiving when they play in Mexico City. I have no idea if the Rams will still be undefeated, if the Chiefs will have more than one loss. But what I do know is to get these two teams on the field together at the same time in Mexico City should be fantastic. And so that's coming up in roughly a month with the Rams and the Chiefs. For Patrick Mahomes, it seems like every single week there's new history or there's a new record or there's some mark that he topples. And the bullets that he throws, it's so much fun to watch this guy direct the offense and that he uses athleticism, the explosiveness. Man, just to watch him throw the football, I enjoy.
First down and goal to go at the 6. Rolling right side, Mahomes. Pump faking. Pump faking, throws late. Caught. The right pylon stretching out. Give it to him. Touchdown. Kansas City. Kareem Hunt. Why not? On a 6-yard touchdown pass from Patrick Mahomes. The Chiefs score again on their first offensive possession. That is now 40 points, maybe 41, pending the extra point. Kendall, best in the NFL. Sidestepping is Mahomes in trouble. Now fires it to the near side. It's Kareem Hunt out of the backfield. Breaks a tackle. 10, 5, stiffing arms to the near front pylon. Touchdown, Kansas City. Snap back to Mahomes. Twist by the Bengals. Mahomes throwing near side, wide open. Touchdown, Kansas City on the near side of the field. Demetrius Harris. Kansas City closing in on 500 yards of offense. Now the snap is fumbled by Mahomes. Comes left, throws near side, caught. Tyreek Hill, the cheetah atones. Touchdown, Kansas City.
I mean, you think you're going to have success But, I mean, I didn't expect just this much. But at the same time, I mean, I knew with the weapons that we had, and I knew if I just ran and did what Coach Reed wanted me to do, that it was a chance that we could be really, really good. And I still feel like we're building on that. I mean, we're still missing plays, and hopefully we can keep getting better and better as the season goes on.
No doubt Andy Reid is thrilled to have this young man along with some of the weapons that he's acquired around him. And so Patrick Mahomes now at 22 touchdown passes through 8 starts. That includes week 17 of last year when he made his NFL debut. 22 touchdown passes through 8 starts is the most ever for a quarterback through 8 games. And in doing so, he helps Andy Reid to his 200th career win. Only 9 coaches in NFL history have ever amassed at least 200 wins, and Andy Dalton joins that group. Kansas City wins 45-10. 45-10! I'm not sure what's more surprising. I don't think the 45 points is that surprising. But the fact that the Bengals were so ineffective at moving the ball, even with Joe Mixon attempting to run it, they were abysmal on third down, could not take advantage of the opportunities. And I know Arrowhead Stadium is one of the most difficult places to play for opponents, but the Bengals looked overwhelmed and outmanned. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. While we're talking about history, well, I don't know, Drew Brees, another week, another record.
Brees under center, I formation, Ingram the tailback.
A pass.
Fakes it, throws back corner of the end zone. Ben Watson, touchdown Saints, and they take a 6-3 lead here in Baltimore. Brees 4-for-4 on the drive for 51 yards, including the big pass to Michael Thomas, and that is his 500th touchdown pass, joining just 4 others in NFL history.
The guy who caught that ball, Benjamin Watson, one of my favorite teammates of all time. He, a guy who I look up to a lot, inspires me a lot. And so can't think of a better guy to have caught that ball.
Drew Brees to Ben Watson. That's a trivia question. His 500th touchdown pass. He ends up with his 501st. And you hear the call with Zach Streif on the New Orleans Saints radio network. Now, this game was about more than just the history. Man alive, I still can't believe it happened. And I don't know how many more times I have to see Justin Tucker's eyeballs bugging out of his face before it finally sinks in. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're inside the Quicken Loans studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. It was a brilliantly orchestrated late touchdown drive by Joe Flacco and the Ravens offense. Now, granted, they had allowed the Saints to score on 3 consecutive second half drives to take the lead. But then Flacco gets them in position, 81-yard drive, a John Brown touchdown, 24 seconds left, and I'm in the middle of typing that John Brown just caught the game-tying touchdown when, uh-oh.
Tucker's extra point to tie the game. The kick is up, and it is...
Oh! No good! No good! It drifted wide right. No flag on the play. Justin Tucker has never missed an extra point in his career. And the house is utterly shocked.
Ever. As in ever. That was the first time he'd ever missed a point after attempt in 223 tries. And he was the only kicker who had not yet missed a PAT since they moved the spot back in 2015.
Take that for data.
Why don't we just pile on with some more nerd alerts, shall we? He had never missed a kick from 33 yards or shorter. So you throw in the number of field goals plus the number of point after attempts, he was automatic from that distance. And his eyeballs bugging out of his head. It's kind of perfect for Halloween, but he couldn't believe it either. Now, of course, Justin Tucker has won a bazillion games for the Ravens. At times, he's been the only reliable part of their offense. So no one's talking about cutting him. John Harbaugh immediately after the game is talking about how he's going to win a game for us next week. But for Tucker, this was hard.
You know, I feel like I cost us the game. Every single one of my teammates thus far has told me the opposite. And, you know, no one play wins or loses a game. Nothing will change for me, I'll tell you that. I'll look at the game like I always do. I'll look at the video from it and do everything I can to compartmentalize what happened this evening and move on from it in a positive way.
So for Justin Tucker, it's so improbable. The most accurate field goal kicker in terms of percentage in NFL history. But, you know, kickers are people too. It doesn't make him feel any better that other guys missed as well. And actually, in the NFC East, there was a big-time kick missed much farther out for Brett Maher of the Dallas Cowboys. What was supposed to be a 47-yarder then turned into a 52-yarder. By the way, Chris did me a solid and looked up the specific instances in the NFL in which there is a 10-second runoff with a penalty. And so there was no loss of down. So that's one situation. But here's when the 10-second runoff is applied. False start, intentional grounding. That comes with the loss of down. The illegal forward pass beyond the line of scrimmage. A backwards pass out of bounds. Spiking the ball after a down. The Cowboys didn't do any of those. What they had was, it was actually an interesting term, a snap infraction. And the official said it led to the Redskins then jumping off sides, even though the long snapper said, and there was video to prove it, that that's the same motion he does every single time. Regardless, there was no margin for error because the Cowboys went with a run play. Jason Garrett went with a run play with precious seconds left on the clock, as opposed to taking a shot downfield or trying a pass play along the sidelines. Extremely conservative. Maybe playing for the tie. But how about giving your kicker a few extra yards? So lots of criticism about that after the game. That's not why the Cowboys lost. I mean, a 52-yarder is not a gimme anyway, nor is a 47-yarder, though it certainly looked like it would have been inside the upright. As it was a clang on an upright that was mic'd up that you could hear all over the NFL. Credit the Redskins. They were able to get a touchdown off a Dak fumble. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, Preston Smith called it the easiest touchdown that he's ever had. So Dak gets stripped and sacked in, like, right there at the end zone, at the goal line, and all Preston Smith has to do is fall on it. And that happened midway through the fourth quarter. So a lot of issues, but the Redskins able to win that slugfest in the NFC East.
Oh, yes.
And now have first place in the division all to their lonesome. So what's the good, the bad, the ugly from week 7 in the NFL? You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. A lot of you are posting on Facebook, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. I know we've got full phone lines, almost. I think we have one line open. We will get to your calls coming up. It's a Monday morning, Monday mayhem following week 7 in the NFL. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. Oh, I want something just like
this. Fly ball to right field, deep, way back. Yelich looks up, and that's gone, a home run. A two-run home run for Cody Bellinger. And the Dodgers take a 2-1 lead. Puig drills one deep into left center field. Well hit, and that one is gone. A home run, Yasiel Puig, a three-run shot. And this may be the biggest home run he has ever hit with the Dodgers. Kershaw to Moustakas, swung on and missed strike three. And for the second consecutive season, the Dodgers are going to the World Series. 6 years in a row, they won the National League West. 3 years in a row to the National League Championship Series, now 2 years in a row to the World Series.
I'm just so proud of our guys for enduring this roller coaster of a season. And a lot of people had their hand in this, and for us to just continue to lean on each other, depend on one another, and stay the course, it says a lot about the focus, the toughness of this team.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Dave Roberts leading his Los Angeles Dodgers into Boston on Tuesday for what will be, I think, a fascinating World Series game one, the opener at Fenway Park. And Dave Roberts, of course, maybe the most famous pinch runner in Boston Red Sox history, going back to that very first World Series 15 years ago, the very first one they'd won in this stretch. So they've now made four World Series in 15 years while the Dodgers are there in back-to-back seasons. And prior to that, hadn't been there since 1988. Of course, they could use a little redemption after last season. We'll see what the matchups are for the opener. Clayton Kershaw, a video that was making its way all over the web. In fact, I see that producer Chris found it and retweeted it from our show account, After Hours CBS. He's solo in Fenway Park going through all of his work, all of his drills, all of his progressions. And after closing out Game 7 in Milwaukee, looks like he is on track to pitch the opener against the Red Sox on Tuesday. So the World Series is on tap. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. That's after Monday Night Football, of course. Raise your hand if you're uber excited about the Giants at the Falcons on Monday night. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Okay, maybe not quite as excited as I was for what we saw on Saturday night or even on Sunday night.
No, Eli's loud.
I do hope it's a good game for Eli Manning.
A sloppy quarterback play.
Just because I'm tired of hearing about it, about how the Giants should trade him when he doesn't have a, or when he has a no trade clause, when he's actually the guy who's driving the bus there. CBS's Super Bowl season continues next Sunday with coast-to-coast collisions. Cleveland and Pittsburgh clash in an AFC North showdown. The Jets fly to Chicago to face the Bears. Denver and Kansas City duke it out in an AFC West matchup again. Baltimore battles the Panthers in Carolina, and the Colts take on the Raiders in Oakland. The day kicks off with the NFL today at 12 Eastern. That's 9 Pacific, only on CBS. 855-212-4227. You're good, you're bad, you're ugly from week 7 in the NFL. Ryan is in Baltimore. Ryan, welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
How you doing, Amy? Listen, I just want to comment that you've always been my favorite sports commentator. I mean, you do your homework, and it's no BS when you're involved, regardless who calls. So that's all I want to say as far as that goes.
Thank you.
But I want to get to that Justin Tucker thing. I was at the game, and listen, believe me, I don't believe in the supernatural and extraterrestrials and all that stuff.
Jinxes? Do you believe in jinxes?
I don't know what I believe in now. I watched the thing, and believe me, the wind had gone to nothing when he kicked that. It was no wind going. The thing, when it took off, it was I know you watched it. It was perfectly straight. Then all of a sudden, it was like somebody cut it with a knife and just jarred it to the side. It was just unbelievable, and that's why I can see why his eyes were bulged now. I think if someone took a picture of me at my house later on that evening, my eyes were still bulging out from the stadium.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just something I just couldn't fathom. I mean, even he said everything he did was appropriate and right that he's done all these years and has a perfect record. Even from high school, he's never missed. So, I'm now a believer in voodoo, and I hope nobody sticks any daggers in me.
Come on, it wasn't voodoo. I thought he said after the game that he just pushed it a little bit. That it just, I mean, it's obviously, it was the spin. It was the spin on the ball that caused it to curve off that way. If he kicks another 220 of them, I would expect that he would make another 220. And so it happens, right? It's the probabilities, it's the odds. No one's perfect forever. Not even Justin Tucker. And he was, I guess, due, you could say, to miss one. But yeah, to miss it like that. I mean, I was in the middle of a tweet about how they had just tied the game, assuming That's what happens when you assume. But yeah, I mean, it's still a very rare occurrence, and it probably won't happen again for a couple more seasons if it ever does. But yeah, just crazy.
And it came at an inappropriate time.
Well, certainly for the Ravens, it did.
It
yeah.
Sure did. Well, we're not going to toss him. He's one of our favorite Ravens here, so we'll keep him.
Obviously, he's won more games than he has ever lost or done damage in. He is a gem for the Ravens, and they are lucky to have him.
Oh my gosh, there's no kicker in the league that can touch him. So, maybe this is something to get him off his back. You know, when you're perfect all the time, maybe when you do lose one, it's a little bit of relief. Who knows?
No. I don't think he's feeling relief on this
Not
Monday
now.
Morning.
Not now. I don't think any of us are. But at least Cincinnati lost.
All right, if it makes you feel better. All right, Ryan, thanks so much for your phone call.
All right, take care.
855-212-4227. Let's talk to Dean, who's in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Dean, welcome to After Hours.
Hi, Amy. Great show as always.
Thank you.
Yeah, Philadelphia Eagles have to be the ugly for me because they... They gave up 21 points in the fourth quarter at home.
Right.
And it's just really shocking. And they were the defending Super Bowl champs. I just couldn't believe that that actually happened. I mean, North Carolina is a good team now. But
sure. But you gave
at home.
I mean, you have a 17-point lead, right, to start that quarter. Carson
exactly.
Wentz said he couldn't really explain it, just that they had taken their foot off the gas, which obviously happens. Again, human nature is that when you're that far ahead, you maybe don't keep the killer instinct. And Cam Newton
exactly.
and the Panthers offense gets all the credit. They were rushing the ball. He looked like he had settled into a groove, but so did Carson Wentz. I mean, he looked so comfortable most of the game. And then for them to just in the fourth quarter, they had the two really short drives that ended in punts. I think
yep.
one was a three and out, and then the fumble. I mean, it was gross. I'll give you that.
Yeah, I don't know. The only good thing for all the teams in that division is that it doesn't look like anybody's running away with it, so.
No, not yet. That's pretty typical of the NFC East, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right, Dean.
Well, thanks a lot, Amy.
Thanks for listening, Grand Rapids. Have a great Monday. A manic Monday, a Monday full of mayhem. We offer therapy here on the show, and many people have taken advantage of this free opportunity over the course of the last 3.5 hours. 855-212-4227. Andrew Bogish is here in studio. Andrew Bogish, do you want to contribute some good, bad, and ugly from week 7?
Well, my ugly hasn't happened yet because the Giants play tonight, so I'm still sitting on my pain is still to come, I would think, this evening down in Atlanta. Yeah. But how about those Jaguars? I mean, my goodness, falling apart at the seams. Blake Bortles is worse than what we thought Blake Bortles ever was all of a sudden. I mean, this is just a disaster.
And they're going after each other in the
right.
locker room
I
now.
I mean, it's just a disaster.
It is. The defense has got to be frustrated because they can only do so much. And for Bortles to get benched for Cody Kessler, which obviously wasn't going to be better, but Doug Marrone says, hey, I can't bench all 11 because we wouldn't have enough guys to put out there, so I had to bench somebody, and it turned out to be the quarterback. Yeah, I don't know what they just gave him a contract. And so I don't know that it's not all Bortles' fault. It hurts that they don't have a run game, but, man, they're a mess. I'll give you that. Any good? There's got to be some good somewhere, Andrew. Infuse some good into our show, please.
Well, the Chiefs continue to be super impressive. And the Texans, I was confused by their start. So to reel off 4 straight wins, they haven't always been pretty and dominant. And
no.
I still have, you know, nightly prayers for Deshaun Watson's health. Apparently, if he's
Seriously.
Taking 12-hour bus rides because he can't fly because his lung is punctured. But I mean, that's a nice win. I mean, it's important when you face a team like the Jaguars who are falling apart to keep them falling apart. Don't let them get healthy against you. That's what they did yesterday.
Yeah, their defense, their special teams have been really good. And Watson is, man, he's tough. As you say, he rode 12 hours on a bus instead of flying because the doctors weren't comfortable with him being in an airplane.
Yeah, and the initial report
the
was
pressure.
That he played with a collapsed lung. I didn't think you could, be on your feet with a collapsed lung. Like, I thought that was, a serious call 911. You need to go to the emergency room thing. So, I mean, more power to him and help him soon before it gets any worse.
I mean, can we reinflate the lung, please?
How about you block for him?
Oh, my gosh. Seriously, he's taking such a pounding. I would say the ugly was the rookie quarterbacks in week seven. Even Josh Allen, who's out, but the other three just, woo, rookies giveth and rookies taketh away.
Well, that's what they do.
That is what they do. All right, 855-212-4227. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Ball's volleyball and outside. Harden's got it. Here comes Houston into the front court. Harden down the middle. Harden all the way. Foul. Goes to the rim. No basket on the continuation. And all the Rockets are living in. Wow, Ingram just pushed James Harden in the face. And Ingram just lost his cool. And Lance Stephenson, of all people, goes in and saves Ingram from himself.
Well, it'll be a technical foul. Ingram's frustrated because he thought Harden just ran into him, and he gets the foul.
Yeah, boy, that was a really dumb play by Ingram. Oh, now here's a fight. Here's Rondo going at it, and now they're throwing punches, and this is multiple ejections.
And suspensions.
This is multiple ejections. And Ingram and Carmelo are out at half court. Security people are out there trying to separate it. This is very ugly for a home opener.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
John Ireland and company on the Lakers radio network. Who would have thought that LeBron's home debut in a Lakers uniform would actually become secondary to what turns into a major fracas on the court? As you hear them say, Harden gets what he think is contact on Brandon Ingram late on a layup, and then he's begging the ref for an and one, which Ingram decides is ridiculous, so he shoves Harden in the back. Then there's a technical foul. There's someone who steps in between those two guys. Okay, Lance Stephenson, peacemaker, pulls Ingram away, but then as he's trying to get Brandon Ingram away from the heated discussion, then it's Chris Paul and Rajon Rondo, and Paul shoves his finger in Rondo's face, and Rondo, melodramatic as always, staggers backwards, and then Rondo decides, okay, I'm not letting this drop, so he decides he's going to throw a left-handed punch to Chris Paul's face. So then you've got guys stepping in to try to split them up. Then Brandon Ingram realizes he's got more to give. And so he goes sprinting back toward all of this madness. And he throws a punch at Chris Paul in retaliation. Oh, my gosh.
This is a real Donnybrook.
Yeah, well, Ingram gets 4 games. Rondo gets 3-game suspension. And apparently there was some spitting. I guess in the eyes of the NBA, spitting is worth 3 games. Chris Paul gets 2 games. And I haven't heard hide nor hair of LeBron James in that opener. So there you have it. Drama on a Saturday night in the NBA. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. There was definitely some ugly happening there on Saturday night. What's your good, your bad, your ugly for week 7 in the NFL? You're finding me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I will say this, the good, a couple of different things for the Patriots, and it's not really just the overall winning, though it certainly is impressive to go into Chicago and Soldier Field against a defense that had been playing really well. But 2 special teams touchdowns for the New England Patriots after they had given up 14 points to the Bears on their earlier turnover. So this was a bit of a back and forth affair with Chicago. Fast forward to the end of the game, and because it's this major tug of war, of course, Mitch Trubisky has a shot at the end zone. And so you're talking Hail Mary type of a situation. And he's got to look at it. And believe it or not, the ball is caught, except that's not the end of the story.
The snap to Trubisky. He's pressured by Claiborne. He starts to roll to his left. He pulls up. He heaves one deep to the end zone. That ball sailing toward the goal line. It's caught by White. White is caught and wrapped up short of the goal line.
Unreal.
And the Patriots are going to win, but that close to a Hail Mary and an answered prayer for Chicago.
We just go home. Let's get on a bus and go home. Get the heck out of here.
Bob Soucy and then Scott Zolak on the Patriots radio network. Man, this was probably one of the most impressive things I saw on Sunday. yes, Kevin White comes down with the ball. And maybe because there was pressure on Trubisky, the trajectory of the ball is more up than it is out. So maybe that causes White to come in a little bit, or the whole scramble has to move in so that they're shy of the goal line. This ball didn't reach the end zone. So White catches the ball, and instantly the Patriots stand him up. Of course, the momentum would be to fall backward into the end zone. He had Bears who were trying to push him into the end zone, but the Patriots were so quick to it to stand up. And what do you always hear about a Hail Mary? Get up and knock the ball down, right? Except there's one guy who was assigned to stand on that goal line, to be on that wall, so to speak, to not jump up. Daron Harmon's job was to keep his feet planted so that if the ball was caught, if a receiver came down with it, in this case, Kevin White, he was already in position to keep him out of the end zone. I'm so impressed with that because, again, momentum would have, should have, in many cases, would have carried White and the pile into the end zone. But instead, Daron Harmon doing his job, the Patriots so quick to react and make sure that there wasn't even 6 inches for Kevin White. And White thought that it was a touchdown.
First split second I did until I felt a bunch of guys. Then I kind of knew it was over, but I just tried to stretch the ball. And I actually tried to hand it to TG, but there was no time left.
Now, really impressive in a game that went down to the wire. So for the Patriots, they go on the road. They beat Chicago. And if you look at the AFC East standings, excuse me, they do have still just the game lead over the Miami Dolphins. But obviously already took care of them in their first matchup of the season. And things are reverting back to form in that division. Also kind of nice for the Steelers that they don't play in week number 7. They have their bye week, but everybody else in the division lost, which means the Steelers are now on top of the AFC North. The Texans have won 4 games in a row. They pile on with the Jaguars, who are going through an existential crisis. Jalen Ramsey doing a little more talking on Sunday, but you're going to have to read between the lines about the issues, not only that exploded in the locker room after the game, but the fact that these Jacksonville Jags can't get out of their own way.
Y'all walk in here, y'all see how it is in here. Y'all see how we vibe with each other. Y'all see how we vibe towards the coaches. Y'all see how it is. This is no secret what's going on here right now. Ain't nobody going to say it because, you know, we can't. But ain't no secret what's going on, and it ain't right now. So it is what it is.
The Jags have lost 3 in a row and are now below 500. In the AFC West, the Chiefs, of course, moved to 6-1. Massive offensive output for them on Sunday night at home against the Bengals. But don't forget the Chargers. They go to London for their win, but that's 4 consecutive W's for the Chargers. And Phillip Rivers continues with what has been an incredible first half for him. It's a decision by Mike Vrabel of the Titans to go for the 2-point conversion instead of the point after attempt. Now, I get it. We're talking about Justin Tucker, right? So they're not automatic. But they're certainly more high percentage than a 2-point conversion. But Vrabel decided to go for the win instead of the tie and overtime, which is maybe depriving those 90,000-something fans at Wembley Stadium of getting extra football, free football, as it were. So it's an interesting debate that we're seeing in the NFL. Some coaches prefer to take the risk. They believe in their guys, they say. They'd rather be aggressive. The goal is to win. And other guys are more conservative, but that's not Vrabel.
You know, I got a lot of faith in our players. They've been, you know, converting, you know, third downs and converting in those situations. And Marcus was, you know, doing everything we need him to do and keeping plays alive. And so, you know, not going to second guess the call. Just didn't work out.
I loved it. I loved the call. I love that he has the confidence in us to go make that. We just didn't execute. They did a good job covering it. I should have done a better job maybe extending the play, knowing it's the last play. There's definitely more I wish I could have done. With that being said, they did a good job of covering and making a play.
So a lot of strange things happening as we approach Halloween in the NFL. 855-212-4227. It's brought to you by Geico, our toll-free line here at CBS Sports Radio. Quick way you can save money is to switch to Geico. And if you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, You can get it all at geico.com. Let's talk to Daryl, who's in Georgia. Daryl, welcome to After Hours.
Good morning.
Good morning.
A first-time caller, but I listen to you all the time. My question is to you. I know you do. I've heard you, and I know that sports world does. Why don't you hear a lot about Sean Payton, what great mind he is for coaching and the job he's done in New Orleans? I've heard it's, you know, from time to time, but you never hear about Sean Payton as much. And just because that field goal kicker for the Ravens missed a field goal didn't mean that they were going to win the game. That was just
it was for overtime. Mm-hmm.
Yes. I think I'm going to follow you on Twitter from here on out.
Sweet.
I've been on since 5.
Oh, all right, sir. Thank you so
much. I'll listen to you.
All right,
Bye. Cool.
I appreciate your support. And yeah, you can always find us on Twitter too. I do a lot of tweeting on Sundays during football just because it helps you to remember points and moments that I saw during the day, even as I'm taking notes, but it's hard to keep up with your notes when there's so many games going on. So frequently I'll put a tweet up just so I can kind of mark my place. In the case of Justin Tucker, it would have been to force overtime, more than likely, between the Saints and the Raven. It's still stunning. And if you haven't seen the bugging out eyes of Justin Tucker, it's worth checking out the GIF that producer Chris found. So on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or I retweeted. And I think in the case of Sean Payton, it's human nature, right? What have you done for me lately? It's easy to overlook because Drew Brees makes everybody look good around him. So I think Drew Brees gets a lot of credit. He gives the credit to Sean Payton for sure. But also Payton's been there for a really long time. And while they did have the one Super Bowl win and they did make it last year back into the playoffs, they also went through, 3 consecutive 7-9 seasons, or 3 consecutive seasons that were right there around 500. So they went through a cooler period as well. But yeah, I mean, just the tenure alone and the success with Brees in the offense and now having the running backs and trying to work on that defense, it's all critical. Mike is listening in Ohio. Mike, you've got 60 seconds. Go.
Hey, good morning, Amy. How are you?
Good.
Hey, so what do you think about the Browns-Tampa game yesterday?
Well, I think it's great for Chandler Catanzaro to be able to get some redemption. But I would also say about the Browns, they're so competitive, they fight so hard. But, man, when they get into overtime, they stink. It seems like they get into overtime and the possessions are wasted. It's so frustrating to watch because they work so hard to get there. And then they get there and it's like they forgot how they got there.
Yep. It's so heartbreaking. You know, we won one game the last couple of years, and then this year was that our fourth overtime game. And man, that's going to be a record there. But
just, not quite. Five is actually the record.
Oh, well, we're getting there. We'll have that before the end of the year.
Yeah, I mean, I would say there's a way to look at it positively. Mike, I'm going to let you go, but I hope that you'll continue to listen. Thanks so much for your call from Ohio. There's a way to look at it positively. The fact is the Browns are more competitive than they've ever been, recently. And for them to force overtime is huge. Generally, they're coming back in the fourth quarter like they did again on Sunday against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And so it's good to see Baker Mayfield make some of these dazzling plays, but rookies giveth and rookies taketh away. And it seems like they get into overtime and there's three and outs and that there's turnovers and their special teams are bad. And so, yeah, it's still a mixed bag for the Browns. We're back tonight, After Hours, with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.